With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Ali, as she leaves the room.
Yep.
I make Julia laugh a lot off air. I'm not allowed to interrupt her during her traffic report anymore.
I would like if she sat in here during the show and just listened to the show, because she laughs a lot, and that's infectious, and it sort of feeds the beast a little bit. It gets you feeling a little confident in your humor and things like that.
She's my muse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like making Ali laugh.
Right, right.
And she also saves my life. She just prevented me from calling a woman the wrong name.
Yes.
And I would have done it for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sometimes, that saved your life.
Even when I know people, sometimes I flip their names in my brain.
Do you think they look like a certain name sometimes?
Sometimes, that's what it is.
Is that what happened now?
Well, you know what just happened? And it actually happens. I have to be very careful with this. I talked to Oliver Luck for a little bit the other night. Mm. And in my mind, the whole time, I'm saying, remember, Seth, he's not Archie Manning. He's not Archie Manning. And I do this weird thing with both Archie Manning and Oliver Luck. And I've done it when I've had conversations with both of them. Like the last time I talked to Archie Manning, I was telling myself, he's not Oliver Luck. I won't mess up the names, but there's a very good chance last night or 2 nights ago when I was talking to Oliver Luck that at some point, even as I'm having a conversation about very Oliver Luck type things, I might have been like, so do you think your son's going to get in the Hall of Fame? And it wouldn't have made any sense at all. But I would have been talking about Eli.
Yeah.
In my mind, I just, it's super, super weird.
That's an easy one. Not easy, but that's one where you can understand conflating the two.
Because they're both NFL quarterbacks.
Who both played for the Oilers.
Whose sons were both drafted first overall by the Colts.
By the same team.
Yeah. It's very, very strange.
So I'm going to give you a pass on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Now, calling Bridget Rachel, I'm not going to give you a pass.
Her name is Bridget.
I said, how's
it going training Rachel?
Yeah.
And she said, who the hell's Rachel?
Right.
You know, the one that everybody else calls Bridget.
Ali is training somebody on traffic this week. So that's the deal. So did you know that you made Jerry Jones cry?
I did know this, actually.
Jonesy, let's flip the order of these two right here. This is Jerry Jones was on with us at the Houston Sports Awards the other day. He presented the late Bob McNair for the Lifetime Achievement Award. He presented the award to the McNair family. And Jerry Jones said there are two times that he has cried since owning the Cowboys.
I said, all of this to think about. And then here he comes in. He makes a presentation to the owners about bringing the team to Houston, bringing it back to Houston. He was elegant from the very beginning. He bested me every time I looked around. He was a few steps ahead of me in every way. And I'm going to mention tonight, but there were two times, and maybe two of three, that I've teared up and cried in the NFL. And one of them was when we rolled in here. It was inaugural night, we let the new Houston beat the Dallas Cowboys, and that was hard to take, but if it was going to happen, it needed to happen with Bob McNair.
Seth Payne had a safety in that game. You sacked Quincy Carter in that game for a safety.
Right.
So by proxy, you made Jerry Jones, a billionaire, cry. Congratulations.
He's told that story before. I'm not quite sure I entirely believe him. I don't know exactly why he would have cried over that, other than that maybe when he walked out to the buses and he saw that Dave Campo was indeed his head football coach for like the third year, right? Wasn't it the...
I think he
was there 2000, 2001, and 2002. I'm not sure. But, and that would be his last year. But I think that also Gary Walker followed Jerry Jones off the field and was like screaming at Jerry.
Really?
Because I think Jerry had made some kind of bold and brash comments. There's the whole thing about that. That whole first game, the seeds were sown when we scrimmaged the Cowboys a few weeks earlier, and Dom Capers did a good job of playing possum a little bit. He didn't play hardly any of the starters on defense, so the Cowboys' offense just came out, was rolling all over everybody. It was a lot of guys that were college free agents or draft picks or what have you. And And that they put that scrimmage on Hard Knocks, and they were talking about how awesome the Cowboys offense looked. Dave Campo got on the bus and saw Emmitt Smith, and he was like, whoa, rolling ball of butcher knives, huh? Just like all this kind of demeaning, degrading stuff. So we got into that game, and the Cowboys couldn't be more out of shape and unconditioned and just fat, lazy, worthless as an offense. It was really bad. And like to the point where in the third quarter, there was a haze of fireworks smoke hanging over the field because the NRG was still working out the kinks, Reliant at the time, and had a bunch of fireworks at halftime while the roof was closed. It was kind of weird. But it was hard to breathe. And you're looking at these offensive linemen, their eyes look like all glazed over. They look like they were ready to be served for Thanksgiving dinner. And it was just it was humiliating for the Cowboys. It really was. They were so heavily favored in that game, and they just got physically just got the crap beat out of them. So Gary's following Jerry Jones off the field. There's a picture of it. There's this book that commemorates that first game, and there's a picture of Jerry Jones screaming at, or excuse me, Gary Walker screaming at Jerry Jones as Jerry's walking off the field. So I think he may have been crying because he was scared that Gary was going to beat him up. Like maybe he peed his pants a little bit or something. It was like, yeah,
bullied by.
I haven't been bullied like this since I was a lad.
Little box score study here on that game. Do you happen to remember what the spread was on that game in Vegas?
I want to say it was like 16 or something.
No, it wasn't. No, because the game was here, so it's Cowboys 8.5.
Oh wow!
People knew
the Cowboys weren't going to be good.
Right, there. the Cowboys were coming off 2-5-11 seasons.
Sean, I don't think you understand how bad we were in practice that week. I was more stressed for that game than any other game I've ever been in my entire life because the entire week there were times where we couldn't get a snap off. Like David Carr fumbled the ball like 4 times in a row in practice. We had to restart the period over and over again. And all I was thinking that entire week was, This is going to be on national television. We are going to get our asses kicked. This is not going to be good, man.
My favorite part of this, the over-under on the game, total points scored in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen an NFL game with this low a total. 33.5.
Wow. Yeah.
Like 38, I mean, anything in the 30s is low. Like 38.5, low.
Look, and we had, and I, like when I
and
was
And it
nervous,
went under, by the way, right. 19 to 10.
When I was nervous about that week, I felt good about the defense. We had some studs
had
on the team
players,
on defense.
Yeah.
We had some really legitimate, and we were a better defense that year than the stats would show because the offense was starting 6 rookies. I think in that game, the Texans started 6 rookies on offense, including a rookie quarterback. Imagine the rookies that have had productive rookie seasons. Typically, they have a veteran offense around them, and they have a good rushing attack and everything. David Carr had 0 of that. Yeah. None of it whatsoever. And then the Cowboys had Quincy Carter. So, yeah, I would imagine that people were looking at it. I'm surprised that the Cowboys were only favored by 8.5. That's disgusting.
8.5.
That's really, honestly, I'm appalled on behalf of Cowboys fans from 2002. Well, can you imagine going into that game and only being favored by 8.5?
They would wind up going.
You got Emmitt Smith on your team?
They would wind up going 5-11 that year. They went 5-11 3 years in a row under Dave Campo. Dave Campo, 5-11, 5-11, 5-11.
So that's why Jerry Jones was crying. We were kind of the coup de grace. I think when he lost that game, Jerry Jones realized, like, wow.
There was more going on than just you guys beating them.
I botched this entire offseason.
The whole thing. You had a hell of a game that night, dude.
Yeah, you know,
you were the second leading tackler on the team.
It was a nose tackle. What are you going to do?
Do you know? I hear from some certain people that nose tackles don't get a lot of tackles.
Have you ever seen a nose tackle get 8 tackles in a game? I'm sorry you couldn't be bothered to look at my stats.
Yeah. Seth Payne, the inaugural game for the Texans, 6 tackles. All solo jobbies, by the way. You didn't need any assistance on them. 2 TFLs and a sack. The safety,
That was fun. That was because it was a nationally televised game, too. So that was like that's one thing I discovered. When you have a big game on a nationally televised game, you get nothing but phone calls and love. And I don't think I even had text messaging.
It's 2002. Point.
You got to actually hear people's voices.
What kind of cell phone did you own in 2002? Was it a bag phone that you just plunked down in the middle of the
seat? I had one of those Nokias. Remember the kind of like the brick-shaped Nokias?
Yeah.
Where you thought they were small because of that. And then when I got to be baller status, I got like the Zoolander phone 1 year. And it was like super tiny. But then all of a sudden, that was the same year the Razor came out. And bigger phones were the thing. And I remember wondering, like, wait, should I really plunk down $400 for a cellular telephone on a Razor? And that's crazy. Nobody ever spent that much money on a cellular telephone.
Yeah, and now we're spending like $2,000. Yeah,
got a mortgage on this thing.
Yeah, you're holding the inside of the space shuttle.
I kind of literally have a mortgage on it, right? Like, yeah. I pay $20 a month.
That's
whatever.
What I do. Yeah. The same thing. I've mortgaged.
Dude, you know
how
they get you though too. It's like, oh, I mean, it's only an extra $5 a month for that much storage. Oh, but then it's only another $5 a month. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm a sucker. I'm a total sucker.
Jerry Jones, by the way, despite him possibly peeing his pants and then crying about it after Gary Walker abused him in 2002, did a hell of a job the other night.
Yeah. Oh, he was great. He was great at the Houston Sports Awards.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.